Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Oracle Divination Network. You've got Omiinka 7 Live coming at you this evening. Our topic is from veterans to ambassadors and priestly men and women. We have been broadcasting on Facebook the same very topic, and we wanted to bring it to our audience that are on Blog Talk Radio Station. And I'd like to say hello to all those veterans and happy Veterans Day to those that served stateside and abroad. We salute you today. We salute those teachers that are permanent DOD workers overseas and that are on rotation schedule. We salute you teachers as well. You serve behind the line. You serve where it counts the most, in the family, where you actually left your homeland, going abroad to various different states and countries to service the families of children that are in the after-school programs, the day programs for preschool and kindergarten, as well as for those family child care centers and child care centers and family child care homes. We like to salute you today. I am a previous civilian who worked abroad on government official orders for the responsibility of being a training and curriculum specialist. And what that is someone who works towards the development of GS-7s and above to make sure that they are on task by taking your continuing education hours in Red Cross areas such as CPR and first aid and AED classes, as well as the child development classes. And serving behind the lines did not mean that you were able to stay on base with the military regime. You had to live off campus with the various different Germans and other Turkish people. So I want to say that this is a special program because it is Veterans Day. We're going to be talking a little bit off the subject and off the cuff because we are trying to recruit those veterans who don't have a profession, who would like to get higher-level training and prepare themselves for one of those in-demand professions, such as the allied health profession. And we are now including priestly men and women who have been called to the cloth, who would like to administer alternative treatments and counseling to families who are broken, who need immediate administrating of counseling and allopathic, non-allopathic medicine, which will be naturopathic medicine. We're going to be shifting over to a product that we have specialize in recruiting, and it's called hemp CBD oil, that most of the children that are coming back home from overseas who have been affected by the transition of their family members going in and out of the home, the children may be suffering from differentiated learning, attention deficit disorder, cerebral palsy, whose children may have had developed seizures from trauma or from just transitioning. So the product that I'll be talking to you about, CBD oil, has now come into the picture for being and preventative maintenance for the whole family, not only just the child, but also for those military men and women who are being deprogrammed after leaving a regime that strictly works towards developing the mind, body, and spirit while in the military. Some of the people have become victims, and some of them have become damaged and cannot find solution to medication that will treat them without the side effect. Some of the medication is more devastating than the actual condition, and they are searching high and low for alternative medicine, or shall I say alternative treatments that can actually work towards a recovery process and do it as quickly as possible. Now, CBD is the one that we will be highlighting for this evening. I know there are many more programs and products out there. We are talking, about the three key products to be exact in the CBD line of products. I have been a custodian of taking the product. I took another brand for over 6 months, and I just recently started in the last 2 months with this new brand. I have opted to take this in lieu of taking other insulin-resistant medication. I have started taking this in hope that this particular product will do the job of lowering the blood sugar. I had been diagnosed as early onset of diabetes, where it could be possibly captured and handled with changing of the diets, and that's what I have done. So I have opted to become an ambassador, and that's why I'm asking you to become one, civilians and veterans as well. And we are not only just asking you to become an ambassador, but we're willing to put you at arm's length training with someone that is very knowledgeable that can help you in becoming an ambassador and distributing the product throughout the nation. But we're also saying that some of you don't have jobs and you're coming home from the military, untrained in those areas that are in demand. That's what I want to talk to you about. There are some areas that are in demand in the area of medical coding, home health coding, medical claim processing. And that is one of the programs that I am going to be talking to you about, because most of you can have your programs paid for as long as we limit our classes to less than 5 weeks and under a certain amount of money. The government will assist and aid those particular people who signed up to take classes like mine. I have been teaching classes like these in the area of child care, where the government had funding to cover the child care training. Therefore, they were able to take my classes that were extension of the college classes. They were able to take those 120 clock hours with me, and with me getting reimbursed for my courses in child development. Now I'm trying my hand at the Allied Health endorsement and specialty. In my class, I teach a prep course in foundational sciences, and that is medical terminology as well as anatomy. Those are foundational courses that most of our medical people take as the beginning of foundation courses. If you haven't had those, don't think about going into the medical field unless you're planning on enrolling in those classes. They are the footstool for the foundation of allied health, such as phlebotomy, CNN, LPN, RN, OTAs, occupational therapists, a medical assistant, respiratory therapist, and on and on and on. Those are the foundational courses of the structure of the bones, the tendons and ligaments, and then the soft muscles and all of the internal organs. So this is what I teach, and this is what I know best. I first started teaching these classes with Blue Cross Blue Shield and teaching each one of my claim processors how to understand the root word of medical terminology so that they can execute processing a claim. In other words, they were trained to be a claim processor, but they had to know about medical terminology along with the proper coding. So coding is in demand now. There is a much need for coders. And those that are becoming good at this are now learning how, after 5 years of putting in their time, they can now apply for remote positions in the home. So those soldiers that have become so damaged that it is almost impossible for them to go to a regular job on an 8-to-5 basis and still function without having the pain that they suffer from the various afflictions. So some of them have to be at home when they are working. So we are pushing the area of specialty for the medical terminology and medical coding for those people who would like to eventually be remotely located at home when they process their work. So I'm speaking to those military people who have been discharged from the military but still have injuries where it would keep them from going to an 8-to-5 job. This is an ideal profession for you to get involved in so that you can take your medicine, be on your prostheses, and have all the therapy you want while you work from the home earning a living. Most disabled people want to go to work, but they must have some allowances made, and sometimes the jobs cannot meet all the allowances. They need to be stretched out on a couch at home, taking periodic breaks to the bathroom, frequent breaks to the bathroom, and sometimes the incompetent bladder will cause them to not to be able to be in the workforce. So we're speaking to those disabled people today. We're very sensitive to you. We know that some of your injuries came about while being out on the front line. Some of you earned these through your war injuries, and some of you are just proud to be home with all your limbs intact, and you don't want to become a burden on anyone. You want to go to work. I understand, because I had to leave my job under disability. I understand that. Some of us cannot stand for long periods of time. Some of us want to do work, but we want to do them at our own expense so we can take frequent bathroom breaks if we have incompetent bladders. Now, I want to talk about the priesthood for the men and women. We are depleting ourselves of priests. And there is a great need for priests to be trained to work in the medicinal areas to offer up alternative treatments to those allopathic methods. So in exchange for these soldiers getting the training and learning a special trade to become an ambassador, to be a mouthpiece for the product, and to also consider becoming a priest or a priestess. We are making those modules available to those people to learn more about the priesthood so we can build our regime of those people that are trained priestess and priests who can literally counsel families who are coming out of the military who desperately need a priest to assist and aid and counsel their family. the whole family sometimes can be damaged after a regime, after a stay with the military, because of all the bureaucracy and red tape that needs to be cut through. It cuts so deep that sometimes it damages the families, with the separation problem causing more frequent divorce than ever before, breaking up the families, calling in the family therapist to try to plead with each of them to stay together for the sake of the children. Sometimes the children is not enough to keep those families together, and they do ultimately break up and need strong, strong, not only therapeutic help, but psychological counseling as well. Sometimes these problems are mind, soul, and body, and require someone that is skilled as a priest to be able to divine, to cast lot, and to read oracles about what and where did the problem derive from. What are the solutions in the oracle reading, and what does oracles tell us to do to refigure that problem and put that person back into the process of wholeness where they can live again as a whole person? A lot of the military people are so damaged that they cannot function in society. They have been damaged to that point where they cannot function without medication. And in looking at the hemp oil as an alternative to taking drug therapy, it could be an excellent match for those victims who have been heavily on medication and drugs, who are trying to wean themselves off but need a sedative that can immediately go in the bloodstream and cause the body to go into rest and to be able to, for the first time, sleep through the night. Yes, there are some sleep discrepancies that soldiers acquire while being abroad on watch, having to stay awake all night or standing periodically long periods of time. But what I bring to you is the opportunity to help those veterans get training, to help those veterans to be able to go back to their authority who are rendering the benefits and ask them, can you give me a booklet of what my benefits are? I want to use my GI Bill benefit. How do I use it? How do I qualify to move into a house without any down payment? They will find most soldiers, if that's a misnomer, that there are some fees that have to be paid. You don't exclusively move in without any down payment money. There are other fees, especially if someone is going into the mortgage with you that is not your spouse. Now, I won't be getting into all the benefits today. You can go to your local junior colleges, soldiers, or retired soldiers, and ask them, is there a department for the military recruitment where I can talk to someone just about what are my benefits, what options do I have for returning to school, how do I start the process of doing continuing education when I've been out of school for so long? Most people think that this is hideous, that the reason why most soldiers enlist in the Army so they could take advantage of the educational piece, but they find out that they cannot take time off work to go to school, and there's only so many increments hours that they're given to go to school. So it's very difficult to complete a full four-year degree in most departments because you are working sometimes even detail while you're there. Even with the civilians, they wholeheartedly believe in detailing civilians to two jobs. I mean two jobs, working 10-hour shifts and trying to get the work done. There is an expediency to get the work done. So when you come in 10-hour shifts, you work 4 days on 10-hour shifts and 1 day off, giving you that 1 day to go home and do something other than your weekends. But nevertheless, Soldiers want to be compensated. They want to learn a trade. They want to learn a skill. That is the whole purpose of them enlisting in the Army. Fortunately, I was not an enlistee. I was on government official orders, recruited to come in and to work my magic, my training over the teachers that were obtaining their continuing education hours, their licensing for the CDA credential, as well as renewing their license to their CPR and first aid and AED training. It's mandatory by the specs of the government that they have these trainings up to date. So therefore, I was constantly setting up after hours continuing education courses, sending people outside of the building who wanted to enlist and enroll in school to take some of these continuing education hours. But nevertheless, it's a process and is governed by the government to check and audit to see who has their training and to make sure they're up to date with that training. So my job was a rather committed one, which I really enjoyed doing. And as you know, I have a story to tell too about my experience while overseas with the military and the detailed work that was divvied out. Sometimes the detailed work can be unfair. You can feel that you have more work on you than others. It could appear to be a punishment. And sometimes they don't use discrepancy in telling you that upon you completing this mission, if you do it well, we're going to promote you. Sometimes their word is not their bond. You can do a superbly job, an excellent job. And if the government sees fit to bring in other stateside people from the state who's never worked for them, never put the years in at a time, can come in and wipe your job right out. I've seen it happen, to wipe it completely out and giving people who virtually have no commitment to you a chance to promote to your job. Not only that, in trying to appeal to these people, they can even be promoted while on probation, or if they have had write-ups, they can still be placed in a job where they're still receiving pay and not put on suspension. We could see all these things happening, which we know these are errors and blunts in the system that causes people to go to JAG and get entangled with litigation, which can also prolong their promotion and prolong their education. So many of them get out of the military with very little education behind them, and sometimes not necessarily a full-blown bachelor's degree, maybe a junior college degree at the most. But very rarely do you see master's degree that they've obtained in higher level learning, possibly a bachelor's with long, long sentences of while you're overseas type of deal. But this is something that must be expounded upon to the potential enrollee, that you're not going into the military to immediately work on your degree and get your degree out of the way. You get your degree as you have extra time while you are at work. So what we want to say is that the military right now is in need of higher level skills. They need to train to get a better understanding of those demanding areas out there, such as the allied health profession, and what they need to have and what they have to take before they can challenge a job like that. You just don't walk into the hospital and say, hey, can you train me? They do not have the time to train individuals. They want you to come to them trained. Therefore, the government is sending you to institutions that can guarantee them that they're training in the most demanding areas for less than 5 weeks and under $3,000 in cost. Then the government is retraining you, giving you a chance to go into those demanding areas where they know that there's work. And one of them is claim processing, Another is also medical coding with ICD-10, CM, also medical coding for home health coding is very much in demand. And the reason why I know this, I work in the area of Blue Cross Blue Shield and training individuals as a supervisor and trainee to process a claim from front to end to ending, to also process rejected claims. And with these claims, you have to have a foundation of medical terminology as well as anatomy. Some people think that it's not necessary to have anatomy and physiology, but I think you need to know the anatomical process and how the body works. I have worked in the medical field in respiratory therapy for over 5 years in the emergency room, working right there, doing immediate resuscitation, using the AMBU bag, trying to resuscitate patients who have gone into a defibrillation stage where they have to be shocked to be brought back to life. And I have worked in monitoring the ventilators so that we can keep those ventilators going to compensate for those individuals who have lost their breath and who cannot breathe for themselves. And upon working in the emergency room, I've also worked with bedside patients, giving the therapeutic treatment of respiratory therapy and understanding how the slipstream work and albuterol and various different medications to get those people's airways open to breathe. So my expertise was working with airways, also drawing the arterial blood gases to put them in the machine to exercise how much oxygen that the individual was getting and how much they were breathing in order to know how to set the ventilators and to monitor these life support ventilators. Yes, I was responsible for those ventilators, setting them, monitoring them, adjusting them, trying to wean the patient off this ventilator so they can breathe on their own. So it was a very, very crucial type of job, which I learned very well, very quickly. I was not a person that went to school to train for respiratory therapy. I learned on the job through working with therapists. I was a technician, but I was able to do some of the therapeutic work because of my science background. So I gained quite a bit of knowledge and understanding how the chemical makeup of the body works through also having an internship with working in the pathology lab with the pathologist, administering autopsies, understanding the body structure through the anatomy course that I had taken. It was very helpful so I could understand the skeletal system, the tegumentary system, understanding the muscle system, and being able to understand how to look for cancer cells and in the histology department and cytology, looking at their actual secretions to determine where the cancer was. So I had a great foundation for this type of work. So when I saw a summary report, I could read it and understand the history of this patient's life and what was going on with their medical history. Now they have gone to create digital files, medical records, so that the person can have a chip with all their records on it housed there. There's so much high tech that is going on in the allied health profession. You have to really stay up on your computer science. I've gone back and taken some computer science classes to better understand. I'm now in the process of, I went back and took my medical term to make sure I was up to date. So I will be looking heavily at reviewing my medical course in ICD-10 CM. That is the training for the diagnosis and the procedure codes. Also, with some of the books, they have the CPT, but with the medical home health training, there is no CPT. It's all put into the diagnosis, not just the procedure code. So as a trainer for Blue Cross Blue Shield, I was able to do higher level training with the nurses, and we were all trained on the same thing, so that we could go out there and execute hiring someone, training them from front to finish on how to execute a claim, how to also pay a rejected claim, So my expertise was claim processing, learning how to audit a claim, how to suspend a claim, and working with the auditors as well. So I have had higher level knowledge and training in the management area of claim processing, which drove me to go back to school for the degree in information and health technology work, for working with the actual coding of these claims. So after finishing all the theoretical part, I obtained a job at the college working as a master's degree individual who taught medical records and medical coding to the 2-year associate degree students, and as well as our 1-year certificate program. So I had a chance to advance. So I did not bother to take the exam. And unbeknownst to me, I wish I had taken it then while it was fresh in my mind. So I'm having to go back, review all that material, and then getting ready to challenge the test myself so I can have those credentials behind my name, encouraging others to also to get that credential, because there is no criteria of how many hours of coursework or degree that you have to have. You just need to feel that you can take the book in an open book test and set for the exam and pass it. Most people who are already working in the field, they have the skill and they know exactly what they have to do because they're working these particular summary reports on a daily basis. So therefore, they could go in and execute that test and pass it because they have been doing the work daily. For someone that's outside of the profession like myself, I would have to go in and I would have to consume a large portion of these actual experiences on the summary report. I would have to have some mock cases that I would have to go in and challenge myself on and get very proficient with those. And after doing those exercises over and over again, I could go in and exercise the test and be successful with the 70% passes. So I urge a lot of you to come to our classes. I just finished putting together a kit that is a lesson in a box, so that the candidates that are going to do the review can have access to the training materials. They won't have access to the ICD-10 CM medical coding book. They will have to buy that book with the training kit that they will get. It will have all those other necessary flashcards and tabular packages that they have to re-tab the book. I did recommend that they do 4 more official tabbing of the medical home health coding book, because there are some areas that weren't tabbed that it could make it a lot easier if they were tabbed so they can get through the test. And our objective is to beat the clock. If you can cut down the time that you finish the test and then go back and revisit those areas that you're not sure of, to beat the clock, and that's what you're fighting up against is the clock. I've taken many tests before. I've learned test-taking skills. I will be teaching some test-taking skills to those people that enroll in my class to show them how to take tests, how to successfully pass tests. I have 2 master's degrees, and I've learned the art of studying. I'm a skilled studier, so I can teach study habits and train people how to even challenge themselves to execute the test well. And once you execute one test, you can go back for all the other disciplines. One is working with home health coding hospice, home health coding diagnosis, home health coding compliance. And once you finish these ABCs, these alphabets go behind your name to accentuate that you're a specialist in those areas. I want to help as many people as possible, especially as the veterans, to learn how to acquire these alphabet soups behind their name and gear them up for employment, to work with corporations and medical health institutes and put their 5 years in of due diligence. And upon completing the 5th year, applying to work remotely from your home so that you can begin to set up your own contracted job, LLC, and work from your home and have the flexibility you need in order to be a semi-retired person and take as much work as you would like to take at home. And I do hope that our military civilian people are hearing me today. This is dedicated to those civilians as well and those military veterans who have no jobs, who have no skill, who have left the military unskilled, untrained, and now cannot find a job even after putting in their time in with the military. I want to help you. I have the sympathy for you. I know your story. I've listened to your story through working with the chaplain. I've walked with you and heard your cry on all of these JAG issues and how you were fed a bill of goods and things didn't work out for you. So I am empathetic to your plight. I too was fed a crock of beans and found out that it wasn't real. But nevertheless, I was committed and I must remain committed. I salute those soldiers in my family who fought in the war. James Edward Jenkins, Marvin Eugene Jenkins, Elijah Day, George Lilly, Sam Lilly, excuse me, George Lilly, Eugene Lilly. I salute all of you, and I'm so happy you influenced me to do all I can do for my country. If not, what the civilians can do for us today is what we can do for the civilians. And I want you to know that our doors will always remain open to you in a sympathetic plight to help you gain skill that you can properly use in the workforce, because that is what they promise you when you pledge to do all that you could do for the military. Now, they must pledge to put the finances and funds up to help you to retrain for real significant jobs in the high-tech area, such as in the medical coding aspect, which is much in demand. I thank you so much for listening, and I do pray that we do get some highly royal priestess and priests out of this calling. We are going to have a speaker come in tomorrow to speak, and that may not be until 10 p.m. tomorrow night. Her name is Mrs. Tasha Kendrick. She is a representative for 3T, and she'll be talking about the product, how to acquire the product, how to become an ambassador and market the product, because there's many soldiers that could benefit from this product, not only becoming a distributor and selling it, but for their own consumptions to help with their ailments that they have. So I trust that we will get some soldiers to call in tomorrow on the line, call in with your questions. I am your illustrious Omiinka, seven who have been on your airways for the past 10 years, if you haven't noticed it. I have been out here on the front line for alternative medicine. I do aspire to the alternative medicine and not necessarily allopathic because I want to remain true to my own, because I was brought up on non-drug therapy products and they've been successful in bringing me to this stage. And I'd like to stay healthy through preventative maintenance. And I'm sure you will too. So I would say to all my teachers that are out there on assignments, I say stay the course. Some of you have lifetime assignments. I know that's hard for you. And sometimes you want to come back home to the States. But if you should have any past information that has been hand-fed to you that is not in your contract, fight for your contract, fight to get new laws for teachers who are abroad, that they never snatch away your official orders to return home. It is devastating being locked overseas, having no way to return 18,000 pounds of household goods, knowing that you have to go home with your things, and knowing that someone can snatch away your orders and you can be stranded overseas in another country. That did happen to me. I fought the case, and they still did not want to give me my orders, even though I asked to have them renewed. That case is online. However, we did have a class action case against our Department for Discrimination, which they eventually resulted into an individual case. I did prevail to show the inadequacies in that case, and there was a settlement, but it's still sitting on the table, and I don't understand why. But I put my time in with the military and my due diligence. I performed my job and did it well and showed that I should be exonerated. And I do hope that the military will do the right thing in exonerating me from all issues.